This is Brendan from Cubs Insider with part 3 of our interview series with Mike Bryant, Chris Bryant's dad. Subscribe to the Cubs-related podcast on iTunes for weekly Cubs discussions with me and Corey Friedman.
He's one of the league's best base runners last year. There's a stat called DSR that they take into account in stolen bases and you know, going first. There, he was second, I believe, in the league. I think he was first in the National League, but I have to double check. But, I mean, that's remarkable. You don't see power hitters run the bases that well.
Well, do you know how that comes about being? It's, you know, I've always said you don't have to have speed. And speed is great in the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to build a team around speed ever. I'm going to build a team around power. Power
100%,
arms. 100%, yeah. Power arms, power bat. He goes on to something. But you know, that comes, Chris's DSR rating comes about because of instinct and how he's taught how to get it. You know, have that internal time clock going on in your head every minute you're on the field. Okay, knowing, you know, you can get an extra, you know, 2 steps, which for him, it's 12 feet, you know, or more, you know, when he gets those legs moving. I mean, he's had strides that have been, I've measured them. When he gets going underway, it's 12 feet. He covers 24 feet, pretty close to 20.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the high end of it. It's like 19 to 24 feet when he gets going underway, because it's like he's a long jumper. It's, you know, so if you give a guy that can move his legs pretty fast that much, you know, that's why he's going to be a good base runner. So it's.
Well, I mean, we saw it in the World Series too. That one Rizzo double down the right field line. You know, he's going on the pitch and he scores. I mean, that's an underrated part of that game right there. He scores from first base on a line drive, basically to right field.
That's why I think he should have got the MVP for the plays like that in the World Series.
And the Addison Russell pop up, the shortstop. Yep. I mean, he tags up. Where do you see that? You don't.
So the swing changes were really minuscule. I don't like the word level. I was taught to have a level swing all my life, and it's wrong. Okay,
yeah.
The ball's coming down. You know, at a 6 to a 10 degree angle, and with break and horizontal and vertical break on it, the depth on the pitches add, you know, up to 12 and 13 degrees to the angle. So if you want to meet the ball squarely, you know, on most of the pitches, you got to have at least a 10 degree angle up, and that's only going to produce a line drive that can get caught in the infield if it's anywhere near the fielders. And
right.
So, you know, you have to have a 15 to 20 degree upward angle on the ball. And then you notice most of the home runs are hit between, you know, what, 25 and 30. So think about
that. The one post I think you saw, he reduced his batted ball angle. So the total amount of batted balls hit above 36 degrees his rookie year was, I believe, 26 or 27%. And then he brought that down last year, those same 36 degree batted balls, he brought that down to, I think it was 16%. So that's a huge drop off to hit more.
Yeah.
And that correlated to more, like you said, those more sweet spots, 20 to 25 degree batted balls. So, I mean, there you go. So it's funny because the it sounds like the goal of last season was to decrease the whiffs, mission accomplished. But what's even more remarkable is that in doing so, in reducing the whiffs, he actually hit better balls. He hit better pitches. And so I think there's this thought process where people want to, and correct me if I'm wrong, they want to just decrease strikeouts because strikeouts are bad. But sometimes when people decrease strikeouts, they compensate and they lose power and they hit more weak batted balls.
Yeah.
And they don't really maximize their value. So
no.
It's pretty remarkable that you're able to increase your contact, but you increase your better contact. I think that's a goal that should be taught. Don't just increase your contact for the hell of it. Don't just go opposite field just to go opposite field. Do it with, you know, purpose. Do it to hit better contact, right?
Right. So it comes back to your process and
right.
what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, you're not it's the process. You're not changing your thinking pattern.
Right.
Okay, you still get the same swing thoughts. Okay, you're just changing your process by which to get there. And then, you know, which includes the thought process, but not the thinking pattern, meaning just being a defensive hitter and trying to put the ball in play or swinging at bad pitches early in the count just so you don't strike out, you know.
Right.
You know, and it's Max. You gotta, you know, the pitcher fears you more than you fear him. Okay, they
right.
just do. And okay, you know what's funny? I mean, you take it even a step deeper. Okay, it's the insecurity of athletes. You know, the need to have their ego stroked all the time. Pitchers are way more high maintenance than hitters. they just are, and they
That's
succeed,
true.
And they succeed way more. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they get you out, you see bat now, they get 180 against Max Scherzer. Well, what's the guy's, you know, why is he insecure then? You know, you just go up there, give me the ball, I'll get the guy out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much damage is done on those 2 out of 10 times, you know, that they're always thinking about that. And,
right.
Know, just, you know, I love it. You got to use the psychology against, you know, into your advantage. It's hard. It's not easy. It's easier said than done. But,
yeah. Has there been any, you know, more work with this Zep Analytics stuff, or is it pretty much status quo, just keep doing what you're doing? Has there been any other conscious efforts to change?
No, not with the analytics. It was very, you know, ingrained now in this thought process. So, you know, with my eye, I've been able to see. So what we did this year was get prepared how we think that the pitchers are going to pitch, with paying more attention to the actual locational type of hit, meaning,
right.
you know, outer third, inner third. So, you know, if the pitchers are going to be stupid enough to try to change the way they pitch to him, you know, because he's got a 429 batting average on pulled balls or whatever, so we're going to go out, we're already a step ahead of him. So if you're going to pitch him on the outer half of the plate this year, we prepared all together what the technique's going to be to drive the ball hard into the right center field gap, which
right.
at Wrigley is a smart thing to do because the wind blows across in China.
Yeah, it goes
right
to the lake.
Wrigley,
it's a
graveyard. So and Wrigley is not a hitter-friendly park. I don't care what anybody says, man. It's 368 in the gaps. Give me a break. It plays like 400 in the gaps, and it plays 420 to center. Cole Hamels. You remember the no-hitter he threw and that Novo Herrera dove in to make that catch off him on that curve? That ball would have left any stadium in the continental United States.
That wind, it's crazy there.
It was more in the process of, you know, preparing, you know, location, inner half versus outer half, and to look away early in the count. You know, look away early in the count and adjust in, as opposed to looking in and adjusting away. You know, you have to respect the speed of the game. Guys doing 95 all the time, you know. So if you look away and try to adjust in, you better have really fast hands to be able to do it that way. But, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, Tim Williams used to be a big guess hitter. You know, he called it anticipation, but he said 13-letter words aren't his forte, so he just called it guess. So,
really?
You know, so because I don't like using college level words. I didn't go to college, so I used just blue collar words. And so, which was really anticipating location type of pitch, and they settle into patterns and you know, where locational patterns and sequencing patterns, and they
so,
do. You can see it.
On that note, do you and Chris, or does Chris and John Neely, do they go over before, like maybe a series or a game, the actual pitch locations of these guys? Let's say, you know, they're facing Lance Lynn on the Cardinals, and he's predominantly, you know, a multiple fastball sinker guy. He's going to attack most players to the outside portion of the plate. Is that knowledge that Chris likes? Because one player mentioned that he doesn't even want to know where the pitcher's pitching. He wants to just react. He doesn't want to put bad thoughts in his mind. Is it the opposite for Chris? Does he want to know that type of knowledge beforehand?
It's kind of, he's still, you know, again, he's in the trust but verify stage on that. He doesn't go and pour over it intensely. He'll brief himself the scouting report that's there on the pitcher every day, what he likes to throw in certain talents and stuff like that. But a lot of the detail for him. He doesn't like a lot of details. So,
right.
And he doesn't like to guess, and he's not comfortable doing that yet. But at some point I said, if you want true greatness, I mean, You know, you talk to all the guys, like, you know, Tomey was talking about it on MLB last night. He would sit on a pitch.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
You know, all, he goes, you know, so what does sit on a pitch mean? You know, and like Adrian Gonzalez nowadays, being in his mid-30s, he sits on pitches. Big Poppy was sitting on pitches. You know, okay, well, if a pitcher out there knows he's sitting on a pitch, okay, which is what they did with Bonds, and that's why he walked 225 times.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, will he get that respect? Maybe. And if you start to see that, okay, then Chris will start walking a lot more. We get into the 100 walks a year, 150 walks a year, and which will be amazing because he'll
Definitely.
Start sitting on pitches, you know. But he won't sit on pitches now because he doesn't trust his thinking yet. So eventually will, because as you gain experience, you know, at the big league level, these guys are just, these pitchers are just not going to give in to you. They're not going to say, here's my fastball, hit it. You know, they're just not going to do it. And so he does look at scouting reports, but he, you know, and he'll look at video, you know, if he's had a bad game or a good game, and he'll see what he's doing good and what he's doing bad, then, you know, or wrong, if he's making this, if there's anything different. And he's just needs to be a little bit more patient up there and, you know, wait for the game to come to him, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're going to have your 2-for-15 series. You're going to have your 3-for-25 before you break out again. And it just happens. It just happens. It, you know, like Daniel Murphy didn't have a run like that. That's why he hit 340, you know. You know, that's going to happen to Chris. He's going to have 5-6 months straight of hitting 300 and then having a hot month, two hot months where he hits 400.
Right.
And then he'll hit 340.